I'll tell you, I am so grateful that God has sent to us someone that he's raised up for our generation. Devon Franklin is the CEO of Franklin Entertainment that works with 20th Century Fox. He's a movie producer. He's worked on projects such as The Pursuit of Happiness, last year Miracles from Heaven. He is an author. Great books that are available on Amazon and iTunes. God's raised him up this week. Friday, he'll be on Dr. Oz's show. They've carved out a segment where he gets to share with us about how you can go from being, well, stressed to being blessed. Amen. A chance to share biblical principles right there on Faithful Fridays on Dr. Oz. And God's raised him up and his wife up, and they're just doing incredible, incredible things God's given them an amazing platform in that industry of entertainment. And I'm so grateful he's here with us today at Cathedral of Faith. His mom is also with us. Priscilla, it's so great to have you with us. Great to have you with us. He's from the Bay Area. Can you say Raiders? But it's just, I'm telling you, every service God has spoken to me, and it's just been a powerful, powerful word. So I hope you're ready to receive what God has for you. If you take hold of it and it takes hold of you, your life will be different this week. It really will. Would you give Devon Franklin a great big welcome to Cathedral of Faith?
Amen, amen, amen. That is totally fine for me, but I didn't wake you up this morning. I didn't start you on your way. What about the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords? What about giving him praise and honor this morning? Don't patty cake your God. Don't play with him. He woke you up. You didn't have to think about it, amen? He put breath in your lungs, amen? Why don't you praise him? Why don't you let him know how much you love him? Why don't let him know how much you appreciate him? You've been holding it in all week. You've been stressed all week. Your boss has been stressing you out. Your kids are stressing you out. Why don't you let it go right now? Why don't you let your praise go? You've been holding on. Now is your time to release. Let it out. Let it out. Because, see, we come into the house of God, and we want him to fill us up. But you got to let it out first, amen? Let it out. Let him know you love him. Let him know you love him. Let him know you love him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let heaven feel your praise right now. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He inhabits the praise of his people. Make room for God right now. He wants to bring you a word, but you got to make room. You got to make room. Don't bring your stress into the house. You praise him out of sacrifice. You may not feel like it. I don't care if you feel like it. You praise him out of sacrifice to let him know, I'm grateful for you, Lord. I'm appreciative, God. Thank you for keeping me alive today so I can do your work. Who am I talking to right now? How many love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, body, and soul? Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may have your seat. You may have your seat. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about what he's doing. It never blows my mind how God, every time we get together, he does something unique and special. And I need you to know the reason why it's so important to create room for him is because sometimes it's like, even when it's cloudy here in the Bay Area, the sun is still shining. We just can't see it because the clouds are blocking it. So your stress operates just like that. The sun is still shining. The blessings are still falling, but you allow your stress to keep you from receiving it. So when you praise God, you're clearing the clouds to receive what he has for you. Amen. How many received that this morning? How many received that this morning? Amen. Amen. It has been such a blessing being with you this weekend. We have been having an awesome Holy Ghost good time. And as we come together, God was saying, here's what the people need to know. He said that there are some people here right now that are living beneath their calling. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you. Yeah. If you think I'm talking to you, I am. I'm all up in your business right now. And I don't care about it because I want you to do what God called you to do. And if I got to get in your business, I'm going to get in it. Hallelujah. Amen. And God sent you here not because this is the normal service you attend. You think that's why you came, but God says, no. I need you to talk to my son and my daughter this morning because somebody here is living beneath the calling on their life. And there's something I need to do, and I cannot wait till 2018. It's got to start now. And if they don't get this word, they may never do it. I need to put an urgency in your spirit to do whatever God called you to do in this time and stop procrastinating. I'm talking to somebody right now. I'm going to get to my message. I just got to tell you what God is telling me to tell you. Amen. I try to be obedient. Some of you have been hitting the snooze button on your destiny. It keeps ringing in your spirit. You know you're at the wrong job. You know you're at the wrong school. You know you're in the wrong life. But every time it rings in your spirit, you hit the snooze button. No, Lord, that's not me. No, Lord, I don't have the money. No, Lord, I don't have the education. No, Lord, I don't even know how to do it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Stop using what you see with your eyes to determine what you see in your spirit. I'm trying to talk to somebody right now. You have to go based upon what he's shown you in the spirit and step in the spirit, and then it will manifest in the natural. Stop hitting the snooze button. God sent me here today from Los Angeles to wake you up. Wake you up. And I want you, for the next 30 minutes, I want you to look at your life as a movie. Can you do that for me? Look at your life as a movie. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a blockbuster in the making. I'm a blockbuster in the making. Turn to your other neighbor and say, Star Wars ain't got nothing on me. Star Wars ain't got nothing on me. Amen? One of the movies that I worked on, and I'm fortunate to work on, with this movie called Pursuit of Happiness that Will Smith starred in. Amen. We made the film. Amen. We made the film over in San Francisco, in Oakland. It's the true story of Chris Gardner, who had a dream of what he wanted to do, what he felt God was calling him to do, and he wanted to provide a better life for he and his son. And so he went and pursued this basically crazy internship. And there's a pivotal scene that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie where Chris Gardner is with his son, Chris Gardner Jr., played by Jaden Smith. And Jaden Smith is there getting ready to, they're playing basketball. And Chris Gardner, played by Will Smith, says to Jaden, hey, don't get too excited about basketball because if you're anything like me, you're not going to be very good at it. And so in the moment, little Chris Gardner Jr. gets disappointed, and he takes his ball, and he goes and gets his little shopping bag, and he starts to put the ball in the bag and stop playing. And his father realizes in that moment he has crushed the spirit of his son, and he says, I'm sorry. He says, you know what? Don't let anybody ever tell you you can't do something. You want something, you got a dream, you go after it, period. Some of you have come in the house today, you have a dream, but you've not been going after it. I got to talk to you because you think that I'm up there and I'm talking down this way. No, we're all in this together. I got to talk to you. This is serious business. You have a dream. God gave you a vision, but for whatever reason, you have not done it. I don't want you to be comfortable today. I want you to get real uncomfortable about what you have not done. Why have you been delaying on the business God called you to do? Why have you been delaying on the reason that you are still alive in Earth's history right now? Why aren't you doing it? When you look at your movie, so many times we look at films and we say, hey, God, I want to get produced. I want to get in production. Who am I talking to? Anybody want to get the movie of your life produced? Who's ready to go to the next level? Who's ready to do the thing that God called you to do? Who's ready to live out the fullness of your calling? Amen. But when you look at films, there's a reason why certain films don't get in production, because they got to go through development first. Development is a process where the script gets worked on. So when we worked on Pursuit of Happiness, we developed that script. The writer wrote those lines that I just recited to you, and before that script could go into production, the script had to be right. It took time. That's what we don't like. We don't like the time it takes. Many of us are in a hurry, and because we're so in a hurry, we have not actually allowed God to do the work on our script, and so we've gotten stuck in development. I'm trying to talk to somebody right now. See, the problem, and here's what happens. Here's what happens. We are not qualified to write our script by ourselves. We need God, who created us, to help us know what belongs on every single page of our script. But when we don't want to be developed and we want to go straight into production, we begin to tell God, God, I don't need your help writing this. I know what needs to be on my script. So we begin to write people and scenes into our movie that God never ordained. And when those people and scenes do not work out and they only bring us pain, we get mad at God. And God says, I never wrote that character into your story. I never put you in that scene. So why are you getting mad at me? If you think you got it, you keep writing your own scenes and let's see how your movie's going to turn out. I'm here to tell somebody, you better let God help you write every scene of your life, because you will become better for it. I believe and I know that when you submit to God's development process, you will get into production. You will get into production. When I started in entertainment, I started when I was 18 years old. I had the dream to be in Hollywood when I was a kid. I used to watch television and say, how can I be a part of the system that is creating these images and creating this emotion and this inspiration? And so from as long as I can remember, I began to realize and want the desire to be in Hollywood. And my original goal was like, I really want to produce. I want to have my own company, okay? So I went to school. I went to USC, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to go produce. God says, no. We got to work on your script. Because if I put you in production right now, you blow it, because you don't have the integrity. You don't have the character. You don't have the capacity. You don't have the perspective. Many times we think God is punishing us because he's kept us in development, but he's trying to prepare us before we get launched into production. He wants us to succeed. He does not want us to fail. People ask me all the time, amen, amen. People ask me all the time, you know, Devon, why does Hollywood make so many bad movies? I said, because the bad movies that you see, first of all, no one gets up in the morning and says, I want to make a bad movie, just so you know, all right? But a lot of the movies that don't meet your creative requirements are because they rush the development process. We serve a God who loves you so much and cares for you and cares for me so much that he won't launch us into our destiny until we are ready. In order for the movie of your life to be successful, if you feel like you're stuck in development and you know you're supposed to be in production, in order for it to be successful, you have to know what the big idea of your life is. Why are you here? Too often, here's our life. Get up, get dressed, go to work, we can't wait for our lunch break. Come off the lunch break, can't wait to get home. We get home, we eat. If we have kids, we feed the kids. We try to watch TV. We scroll ourselves to sleep. And then we get up in the morning, we scroll some more. We get dressed, we do it again. I'm talking to somebody, I'm all in your business. Yes, I am. And I will not apologize. I'm not sorry. Amen. Because what happens is you get on this rut and you begin to get on the hamster wheel and you never ask yourself, what am I here to do? Why was I created? What is the big idea of my life? And if you don't know why you were created, you will never have the process of development required to get into production. You got to know it. And you got to seek God's face in order to figure it out. And part of the big idea comes from the talents and gifts that he's given you and me. Those things that you do really well without in minimal effort, those are really good clues as to why you were created. But now what happens is sometimes when we're in development, again, instead of letting God develop our script, we let other people in our environment develop our script. Can I talk about it? Because see, as a young kid, you know, I wanted to go into Hollywood, and I was a Christian. And I would tell people, I believe that my script is supposed to include Hollywood, even as a person of faith. And people would say to me, Devon, you can't go to Hollywood. That's the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the devil's playground. As a matter of fact, go and get the anointing oils, elder. Let's just cast the demon out this boy. How dare you think you can be Christian and go to Hollywood? That is not a Christian profession. And I would begin to say to them, I said, well, really, how many days have you worked in Hollywood? So you haven't worked in Hollywood, so you're giving me an opinion of someone else's opinion of something that no one has had an experience with, and then you want me to rewrite my script based upon your limited experience, and then you want me to be happy with it? Who am I talking to right now? Why are you allowing other people to develop your script that God never ordained for them to help you with? There are certain things that God only gave you. He only gave you. He only gave you. You might be in a marriage and your wife doesn't get it. You might be in a marriage. Your husband doesn't get it. That does not mean you're not supposed to do it. You might be in a relationship. You might go to a church. You might have an uncle or an aunt, and they say, I don't know. Well, let me tell you this. If you don't know, why don't you pray on it? Because I'm going to keep going and walk by faith and walk this thing out and pray for me as I do it. Don't stand in my way. Pray for me. Pray for me that I would hear from God and do what he's called me to do. And if I make a wrong turn, pray he'll get me on the right turn. But I got to walk by faith, not by sight. And I cannot sit any longer. I'm tired of sitting and wondering. I got to get out and figure out what I'm supposed to do and why I'm created. I've got to do it. So at a young age, I said, listen, I know y'all love me and you want to keep me on course. I said, but I got to go to Hollywood and figure this thing out. Because I have a vision, I have a big idea for my life. And so here we go, 18 years old, I leave the Bay Area, I get to Los Angeles, I go in for an interview at Will Smith's management company. And the lady that was interviewing me, she said, why do you want to be in entertainment? I said, because I want to make change. She said, you want to make money? I said, well, money's cool, I have no problem with money. Amen. I said, but I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about change in the world. I said, I believe that entertainment is one of the most influential mediums in the world. If I can make content, it can uplift people, it can inspire people, and bring people back into a relationship with God. And right there in that moment, I was able to tell her why I believed I was here. If someone were to ask you why you're here, would you be able to have the clarity to be able to concisely tell someone why you exist? And if your answer is no, you must commit yourself to figuring it out. And what does that mean? That means getting with God, praying, getting in the Word, seeking it, asking. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. Now here is the thing. Do you know what takes up our seeking, our asking, and our knocking? Do you know what absorbs the time that we could be using to figure out why we're here? It's that device in your pocket. It's that device in your purse, and it's called a phone. If we had time to do an inventory of how much time you spend scrolling or how much time you spend really interceding on your behalf with God, which one would have more? I guarantee that most of us spend more hours scrolling on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and all these sites, and we don't spend time figuring out with God why we are here. I don't think Jesus sends tweets, does he? When was the last time you saw Jesus do a Facebook post? Huh? Does Jesus show up in someone's Snapchat? Hey, it's Jesus. But we mindlessly do it and we scroll and we spend time observing other people's life instead of asking ourselves, what's going on in my life and what is God trying to do in my life that I have not done yet? You gotta know the big idea of your life. And some of you, God has already revealed the big idea to you, but because life got difficult, you lost faith in it. I wanna talk to somebody who knows what the dream is, but you've been divorced from it because the last time you touched it, it caused some pain in your life. So you say, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore because every time I try and live out my dream, I get disappointed. Every time I try and live out my dream, I get discouraged. I don't know who I'm talking to. But God is telling me to let you know it's time to pick the dream up again. He is still God. He is still God. He is still God. He is still on the throne. He gave you the dream, and he has a plan for it to happen in your life. Don't let the discouragement get you out of what you know, that God is all-powerful, and he has already done amazing things in your life. In order for your movie to work, you got to know the big idea. Now, the other thing that's really important for a movie to work is you got to have the right cast, okay? So when you go to the movie theater, you see a film, and the reason why you're going, in addition to the concept, is the cast. Some of you say, oh, you know, I like Tyler Perry. Oh, I like Tom Cruise. I like Will Smith. I'm going to go to their film. Let me submit for your consideration that maybe the movie of your life is not working because you have the wrong people in your story. Realize that there are certain people that are fulfilling certain roles that maybe God never cast them to play. In Hollywood, there's this thing called day players, all right? A day player is somebody that, you know, maybe ultimately has the talent of a star, but in the moment, they're pretty newer in their talent walk, and they usually only come in to say one line, okay? So for a day player, you usually cast somebody local. They come in, they say one line, and then they're gone. They don't have the capacity at that time to handle more than that. Because if you cast a day player as a star of your film, you're going to realize the film's not going to be very good. Because that's not what they were called to do. So what happens in our life is that instead of being more cautious and having a lot more scrutiny about the people we associate with, we allow a day player to become a co-star. And then we wonder why our movie doesn't work as well as it's supposed to work, because we have people who don't have the capacity to handle the support we need, and we're trying to ask them to do things they aren't qualified to do. And because we're afraid to walk by ourselves and we just want somebody with us, we will allow our standards to drop just to be in relationship with somebody, but that person is not there to handle what God put on them. May I submit for your consideration, it might be time to recast your movie today. There might be some people in your phone that have to go. There may be some friends that every time you talk to them, they stress you out. They tell you what ain't gonna happen. Maybe you need to tell your friend, and it could even be a family member, I love you, but I can't talk to you right now because God and me are doing something. You know, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, Jesus is your co-star. Me and my co-star, Jesus, we got a scene to go save. We got somebody who needs you. And you have to understand that the person that doesn't understand that, who cares if you hurt their feelings? I gotta be honest with you. How many times do we not move on when God tells us to move because we're afraid of somebody's feelings? I'm sorry, listen, God will mend your broken heart, but you've broken my heart so many times, and I'm tired of it. I'm not gonna allow my life to come down to your level. I can't be with you right now. I can't hang with you right now. We're cool, but maybe we gotta take a break because there's something God wants me to do, and every time I try and do it with you, my life gets in the wrong direction. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you gotta look at the cast that's populating your movie. So important. The people around you will affect the direction you go. And I'm just telling you what God is trying to tell me. There are some young people here, and you've been hanging with the wrong crew because they give you the validation you're seeking, but the price you're paying for the validation is a distancing from your purpose and from your God. God loves you so much that he will bring the right circle around you, but you have to have the courage to not hang out with the current people you're hanging out with, because they're not going to lead you to him. They're leading you away. And I can tell you, as a young person who committed my life to Christ at a very early age, there have been times when it's been lonely, but those lonely times have been fulfilling. Because I didn't have to live knowing I was doing things with people I didn't care about. I could stay by myself and say, God has me. Even in the times when it was lonely, I knew I was living a life of peace and a life of power and a life of perspective, even while I was by myself, because other people in my crew wanted to do things I didn't want to do. And then now the same people that were doing the things that I didn't want to do, they look at me and say, wow, how can we get to what you're doing? And I said, well, you know, here's the reality. The sooner you get with Jesus, the better off your movie's going to be. So if you want to do what I'm doing, get with Jesus and have him fix up some of your scenes. For your movie to work, you've got to have a good director. Any movie that you see, many people go to the film, the theater, because of who's directing the story. Some people love Steven Spielberg. Some people love Damien Chazelle, who did La La Land. Other people love Joss Whedon, who does The Avengers. In order for the movie to work, you have to have good direction. So many times in our life, we don't allow God to direct our story. God is the only one qualified to direct the movie of your life. He is the only one qualified to sit in the director's chair and say action, cut, give direction on what to do in a scene. He's the only one qualified to do it. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. We don't take direction very well. Come on, don't play with me, Cathedral of Faith. Don't play. We don't take direction very well. God will tell us to do something in a moment, say something in a meeting, go over and introduce ourselves to somebody that may be above, quote unquote, our pay grade. But because the direction we get from God sounds so crazy, we don't do it because we're afraid. Let me tell you about that fear. That fear, God never gave us a spirit of it, but he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Let me tell you something. If God's direction doesn't scare you at times, then you are not really listening to what God wants you to do, because God is a director that will tell you to do some stuff that you don't have the capacity to do, but that's the whole reason why faith comes in. You got to do it by faith, not by sight. It's his power working in us, not us by ourselves. But you got to listen and you got to do. Do not just be hearers of the word, but you got to do what God says. I'm trying to help you today. Listen to your director and do what he says do, no matter how crazy it may seem. So there I am in the internship interview. I already told her why I wanted to be in entertainment, and then God, my director, gives me some direction. She asks a question, what else do you want me to know? And God, my director, whispers in my spirit, tell her what you believe and tell her what your conviction is. Because, see, I grew up as a Christian observing Sabbath, so that was a big part of my conviction. And God said, tell her about it. I said, Lord, I'll tell her after I get the internship. Y'all, don't play with me. Don't play with me. You know what I'm talking about. Once I get what I want, then I'll configure it to make sure that it fits. But here is the problem. Too many of us are opportunity obsessed. We just want the opportunity, but we don't test to see if the opportunity is from God. Let me tell you something. The enemy can create opportunity too, but the enemy's is counterfeit. So the enemy's opportunity will not allow you to be who God created you to be. So that's why you have to test the door of opportunity and make sure it can fit everything God created you to be. So when you walk through a door, can it fit everything you were created to be? Or when you go through the door, do you have to get smaller and cramp what you believe and cramp who you know and say, well, Lord, I will honor you later. Let me tell you something. If you have to fit through the door of opportunity in a compromised position, the very thing you're going to need to be successful when you get the opportunity, you left outside the door, which was your faith. You got to carry your faith into every single scene of your movie. And here's the thing. I wanted to be in Hollywood, but I needed to know, does God want me to be in Hollywood? You might want something, but you're not going to know it if it's God until you put him to the test. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It means put him to the test. And if you're afraid of a no, then you're afraid of God, because sometimes God will give you a no, not because it's a no on the overall dream. It's just that that opportunity would not set you up the way that he designed. So, I tell her, I say, you know, I got to be honest with you. I observe the Sabbath, so if taking this internship requires me to work on the Sabbath, unfortunately, I will not be able to take it. Just like that. And it was quiet in the interview like it is now. And after a moment of silence, she said, you know what, Devon, we can work around that. And she said, you know what? We actually need more people like you, because here's the thing. When you actually have a conviction you stand on, people actually say, this is the person I want in my company. They have integrity. They have passion. They have commitment. They care about more than just themselves. I'm trying to tell you, when you stand for God and you stand for something, it will not keep you from where you're supposed to be. It'll take you to where you're supposed to be. Somebody needs to listen to God's direction and start being obedient in the house. Here's the other thing for your movie to work. What movie have you seen that didn't have conflict? If you saw a movie that had no conflict, you say it was boring. So why, when conflict shows up in your story, you all of a sudden get mad? Lord, why are they against me? I don't understand. Every time I try and do my dream, Lord, it seems like everybody's opposing me.
if you see the Avengers and there's no villain, what do the Avengers have to do? Nothing. Sit around the table and talk to each other. There's nothing to save. They can't become heroic in the absence of conflict. Let me tell you something. Conflict is what brings the hero out. Every hero has a villain. So when your villain shows up, you say, oh, Joker, you're here. That means God must be getting ready to show up through me because I'm the hero of my movie and I know what I'm here to do. So when the villains show up, that means it is on. Realize when conflict is there, it's not there to take you down. It's there to build you up. Thank God when the Joker shows up in your film. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. As people of faith, we got to start getting our faith up. You got to realize that you are the hero of your story. God would never give you the movie if you weren't the hero, but you got to start acting like it. Why do you get up in the morning and say, oh, I don't know what's going to happen today. Oh, you know, I'm hoping one day they'll notice me. Or have you lost your mind? You are blessed and highly favored. You were paid for with the price. You were made in God's image. So you need to get up and say, yes, I am the hero today. Yes, I know who I am. And if you are waiting on the promotion, let me tell you something. Instead of just going over to your cubicle and saying, one day, when is it going to happen? I want you tomorrow just to go over to your boss's door while nobody's looking. I want you to go ahead and rub the knob and say, thank you, Jesus. It's mine. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I know it's going to happen because I'm the hero of this story. And I know God is with me because he's directing my every step. You got to understand what God wants to do, and you have got to start doing it. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you got to start being more bold. You got to start acting like you know who you are. Stop acting like, oh, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Yes, you do. God already told us what happens when we use faith. Faith is possible for all. Everything is possible to all who believe, so you got to go ahead and believe it in order to see it. Why do you act like you don't know who God is? How many church services have you been in? How many worship songs have you sang? How much Bible study have you done? Hours upon hours upon hours. Why don't you have more faith? Why don't you have more bold? Huh? It doesn't make sense. If you were going to motivational seminar after seminar after seminar and you're not motivated, something's wrong. Either something's wrong with you or the seminar. Come on, somebody. Don't play. Don't play. But I know faith works, and I know God works, so it's up to us to begin to use it in our story and not get worried when we see conflict. We use the conflict as a way to understand who we are, and conflict shapes the hero within. The last thing I'm going to say, and then we got to go. When you go to the movie theater, you see all these films, right? Superhero movies, Avengers and Spider-Man. Spider-Man, you see him shoot these webs out of his wrist and fly around the city of New York. Avengers, you see Captain America with the shield. Whew, throws it and flies on and all that kind of stuff. Hate to break it to you, it's fake. It's not real. That's all made in the computer, okay? It's all made in the computer. It's all green screen, all right? It's not possible. You go and get a suit, a Spider-Man outfit with some webs, and try and fly around San Jose, they're going to lock you up, amen? They're going to lock you up. Because it's not real. But here's what I want you to know. What is real? What is our real superpower as a hero? It's called faith. We have not because we ask not. When you have faith, let me tell you something. You can go into a meeting, and when you begin to use your faith, the whole environment begins to shift. I need to tell you something, that there are people that are in position that aren't even supposed to help you, but because you have the faith and you believe that God is in it, their heart will be turned towards you, and they will say, I don't even know why I'm blessing you. It's because the faith within you, when you unleash it into your story, you will see the impossible. You don't walk by what you see. You walk by faith. Faith plus works equals action. Faith without works is dead. Somebody's got to get raised up today because your faith needs to meet your action. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you got to go ahead and combine the two. And when you do, you will become unstoppable. You're going to have little kids wanting your costume because they say, wow, mommy and daddy are the real superheroes. Wow, my uncle can fly over circumstances and situations. Why? Because they see you use faith, believe in God, walk with Jesus. There is nothing more powerful on this earth than when some of his children get committed to doing what he called them to do. And I got one more newsflash for you, and then we gotta go. Newsflash. You're the hero. Newsflash, the hero always wins in the end. Hallelujah. 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 I don't care how bad the villain. I don't care how big the conflict. The hero always wins. You are going to win even if you don't think it's going to happen. You got to start believing, I am winning. I might be going to court today, but I am winning. I might not have the money today, but I am winning. I might be going through a season, but I am winning. I am the hero, and I am going to win. I need to tell you something, that if you don't believe you're a winner, today you got to flip the script and rewrite this in your mind. I am the winner because I am the hero. And guess what? Jesus already paid the cost. Your movie has been financed. Your victory has been financed. So you have to embrace it. You got to walk in it. And you got to claim it. Who is claiming it today? Don't you patty cake your God. Don't you patty cake your God. Are you claiming it today? Who's claiming it today? Who's claiming the victory today? Who's claiming the victory today? Who is claiming it today in the mighty name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. You better go ahead and clap. You better go ahead and praise him. You better go ahead and praise him. Because he's already gone in scenes before you and prepared the way for you. But you got to walk in it. Hallelujah. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your neighbor's hand right now. Grab your neighbor's hand. Grab your neighbor's hand. Grab it. Hallelujah. Right now, you are holding on to the hand of a hero. The hero you're holding on to has been through some things. They've got some bumps. They've got some bruises. They've got some scrapes. They've been through some things that almost took them out. But guess what? They're still here. So what you're holding is power. What you're holding is strength. What you're holding is victory. What you're holding is perseverance. What you're holding is God's son or God's daughter in whom he is well pleased. So what I want you to do is I want you just to go ahead and raise your hand as you're holding their hand. Look what happens. When we connect ourselves with God's plan and his purpose, when we raise our hands, it ultimately puts us in a victory position. This is what we're going to do. We are going to win. And when we win on this earth, God promises that we're going to have a sequel called Eternal Life. I'm talking to somebody right now. This movie has a sequel, and it's called Glory. Hallelujah. So I just want to do what God called me to do on this earth, so when we get to the sequel, I can fly all around heaven and say, wow, if it took all of that in the first movie to get to the sequel, then it was all worth it. I need to speak victory over your life. I need to speak success over your life. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying right now for all of the hands raised, Lord, that they would feel the power of their calling right now, that they would understand that they were made for such a time as this, and that when they begin to use faith, dear Heavenly Father, and trust your direction, that there is nothing that they can't do. Dear Heavenly Father, please let no one think that because they're a certain age that the call is no longer good. Doesn't matter the age, dear God. As long as they're alive, the call is still good. I'm praying right now that you may be young, you may be old, but you are alive. That means he still has work for you to do, and that the movie he created you to star in is still good. And I pray, dear Lord, that as your children leave this house, that they leave with a mindset of victory, using their faith, trusting your direction, and knowing that in the end, they will win. I pray this prayer in the mighty, holy, powerful, matchless name of Jesus, and all God's children say, yeah. Amen, amen. You give your God a hand praise. You give him a hand praise. Don't play with him. You praise him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Wow. I know God has spoken to me every single service. God just has locked in on my heart and has spoken to me. How many would say, hey, Ken, that message was for me today? Amen. I want you, would you let Devon know how much you appreciate his word, his life, his ministry, man? Hallelujah.